Hello and welcome to the Reel to Rank podcast, the podcast that ranks your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. I'm Devin Specht, and with me as always is my brother Dayton.
Hey, howdy, everybody.
And today we're being more human than human.
We've moved beyond being normal Homo sapiens. We've gone to being Homo superior. We have mutated. We've gotten incredible gifts, but we have incurred much more disdain than usual because of those gifts.
It's X-Men.
Age-old story of the X-Men. Yes, it is.
It's released in the year 2000. Bryan Singer directed. It's the movie that kind of kicked off a wave of superhero movies that were still in.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, when you think about when we hit the modern era of superhero movies, X-Men is kind of the one. I mean, this is a box office goddamn juggernaut. I didn't realize. Like, I realized it was huge. I didn't realize how big it was compared to its budget. Because they made this on $75 million, and this is according to Wikipedia. The box office haul was $296 million.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this made a lot of money. So when, you know, of course, when something hits it, you know, hits the thing, everybody wants to catch up. So, yeah, we're still kind of in the wake of what X-Men started.
Yeah, it's like this and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I think Spider-Man, like,
really... Spider-Man's a much more traditional out-and-out superhero one. As well, yeah. I think both of these just kind of compounded that. Hey, we could, with the technology that we have now, you know, we can really pull some of this stuff off. Which probably was a factor into why they didn't try a lot of these initially, because it is kind of hard to do some of these powers with a lot of the effects that we had back in the day.
Believably, yeah.
Yeah, without having to rely on like turning Johnny Storm into a cartoon Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Sort of deal.
And you can watch the 90s Fantastic Four unreleased and see what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is I hadn't really thought of that, because like the big superhero movies that we'd watched before that are all much more subdued, like Batman and...
Mm-hmm. Well, even something like Superman, like he still does stuff, but it's not as showy, and as not, you know, it's stuff that you can do practically with effects, you know what I mean? It's not the same as doing like Iceman, you know?
Yeah, Iceman's a lot harder to pull off, or, you know, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, X-Men, one of the, in the three, I always think of Marvel Comics as like a three-ring circus, and X-Men is their own ring. Because they, even though they're part of the Marvel Universe, they tend to be very insular, and their stories don't make a lot of sense when they're mixed with other superheroes.
I mean, yeah, they kind of break the whole thing when you think about it, because it's like we have this whole like class with this whole basic race of people, probably isn't the right word, right? But like this whole new subset of humanity. And called mutants, and they all have superpowers, and we also have regular superheroes, and they have superpowers. And then...
Yeah, and everyone's cool with them. It's like,
they're fine.
Spider-Man was bitten by a spider.
The
he's
Incredible
okay.
Hulk, he's fine. He is primo good stuff, but that fucking Kitty Pryde, she needs to go to a fucking concentration camp.
Yeah, you know what we need to hunt? Fucking Cypher, he can read all the languages.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Captain America took drugs, and that's how he became powerful.
Yeah. They almost do deserve to be in their own world. Like, I like them being part of the Marvel Universe, because they do add a very cool layer to it. But at the same time, I feel like they almost require a sort of... narrative maintenance, so they don't go around just kind of what's the TV tropes term, like game breaking shit.
Yeah, you know well, I mean? it's just one of those things that like when they're in with other superheroes, it's like, oh okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Wolverine is in like everything.
He's, well, yeah, because he's awesome. Everybody loves Wolverine.
His superpower is time management. He's part of everything.
His superpower is being popular.
Yeah,
he's like the Kurt Russell of superheroes.
But he can. So he shows up and he's everywhere, and he tends to cross over. But that's what I mean. Like they tend to be much more on their own,
mm-hmm.
and their problems tend to be much more like insular. Like they don't go out and do stuff in the same
way. Well, they're not. They've kind of moved past being like typical superheroes, right? Because they used to be. The original shtick was that they were, you know, there weren't. As I inferred, because I did read a lot of the original Stan Lee, Jack Kirby era stuff, and I know a lot of that stuff isn't as, cohesive to what the continuity of it is now, right? But, you know, they were trying to be superheroes to get people to like mutants, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Without any other superheroes around, it is like, why are you guys putting on these outfits?
No, that's why they, you know, that's why they wear all black jumpsuits
that they can barely move around in.
Totally practical attire for battle.
Oh, it's super, super practical. And, you know, really, this is another one that I also think maybe started that bit in Hollywood where we really don't want to advertise the fact that we're a comic book movie. Because I really get the sense that Bryan Singer really doesn't like superheroes or comic books much.
Yeah, there is a bit of embarrassment or, like, poking fun at the whole concept.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, they have code names. It's mm-hmm. It's a joke.
Yeah. And they're like, why do you guys go around calling the code name? You know, Wolverine goes around, you know, hanging a big lampshade all over all of it and... Well, like, even the suits. The suits just are, like, they're, like, extra biker gear. It's crazy.
It's like a leather onesie.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the stylistic stuff in this that I'm not, like, it's become iconic because, of course, it has. But it's kind of like how, with the Richard Donner Superman thing, I've never been on board with the crystals. We'll get to it when we get to it, but a lot of, like, the visual iconography of stuff. I'm just like, man, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah, I get that. Especially when you look at, like, the X-Men normally and just how colorful they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even where other movies went with, like, we'll get to the First Class movies, but those are very kind of vibrant in their own way, you know, and kind of, they still use that same aesthetic, but they also pull in a lot of other stuff to make it work in their favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you want to just
let's dive
hop
right
into the first stage of human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's mutation. It's evolution. This Professor X is telling us.
Yep, he's narrating while we see stuff, genetics floating by.
DNA. The building blocks alive.
Homo superior DNA.
Bingo, bango. We took this from Sauron. He's a living dinosaur. getting all this stuff about evolution, which I believe for Motorhead is a mystery.
Yeah. Lemmy's an X-Man.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. We get all the DNA title card.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think this is the most 2000s graphics it looks. I remember we saw this movie in the theater. And now I've watched it back and I'm like, oh, that intro though.
I mean, there's a lot of that stuff.
There is.
It's like, wow. Also, we'll just get this out of the way while we're here. How goddamn young everybody looks is crazy. It's just because we've been living with these characters in these movies for years and years and years, but it's like Hugh Jackman is not nearly as Hugh Jackmaned up as he normally is to be Wolverine.
No, he is not as
you can
Hugh
see his ribs.
Jackman. Like, yeah, he's muscular, but he doesn't look like he's, you know, been eating like just pure protein for
going to the gym for 48 hours a week, you know.
Yeah, it looks like a much more attainable, like, you know, he's a built dude. He works out.
I kind of like that. Kinda like,
I actually do too.
Him.
Yeah.
And there's also an apocryphal story. I don't know if this is totally true, but according to legend, Kevin Feige, I think, was either a production assistant or something of some such on this movie. This is where he kind of began everything, right? And they were going to give Hugh Jackman a totally fucking not Wolverine-style haircut. And he put his foot down and was like, no, Hugh Jackman has to have his hair like Wolverine, which is why that is one of the things that Wolverine retained from the comic books.
Well, yeah, because the hairstyle is, like, kind of have to.
It's iconic, too. It's kind of part of him.
I will, you know, there are some things I'll accept. Like, one, Hugh Jackman is much taller than Wolverine actually is.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a short dude.
Wolverine's like 5'4".
Yeah, he's a midget.
That's kind of the point. But I'm okay with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he does, yeah, does a good job.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's, that's also what's great, too, is where it's like, it's kind of fun thinking about, like, oh, we're starting the journey, you know, because you get to see where he's going to take the, like, the highs and the lows across all these movies. It's, like, it's going to be really cool to, like, redo that again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and just how many, like, how many of these he's in, you know, or a lot of the characters, too, are just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of them. But yeah, we start our movie, as all movies start, in Poland in 1944.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aladdin, Poland, 1944.
Yeah, Jaws, Poland, 1944. The shark was an SS officer. You didn't know that about Bruce, did you?
yeah, I just, you know, the Holocaust is bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the controversial stance that not good. And
things that should just be a given, but yeah. It's
just.
It's also weird to me that, like, we go from Patrick Stewart giving this narration about evolution, and then we just, like, boom, right into the...
Right into the Nazis.
Right, just right into the arms of the Nazis. But this is Eric Lenscher and his family. They are being detained because they are Jews in 1944 Poland, and we all know what happened in Poland in 1944. And he's separated from his parents, and he's getting grabbed, kind of held back by Nazi soldiers, and he reaches out his arms, and he's just screaming and screaming, and his parents are screaming, and then he just, like, grabs, like, just the air, but we see that the gates are starting to warp with the sheer, he's discovered his power, his mastery over magnetism has begun, and then another soldier just is tired of all this nonsense and just, like, hits him with the butt of his gun.
Yeah, knocks him out, the fuck but out. But the fence is just fucked. And yeah. I'm glad that they have this, though, because
oh, absolutely,
it is what makes Magneto one of the best villains in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that he's, like, kind of right or justified in believing he's
you absolutely see where his stance comes from, and where, even though the character, and he's I think I've said it on the show before, but he's my favorite villain in Marvel Comics, because there is that quality of him of, he's correct to a certain extent, but he's not correct to where his extremism gets in the way of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that's what makes him a villain, but it's what makes him a tragic villain, because it isn't born out of, like, out and out malice. It's born out from the things that have happened to him and his people and his family early in his life. He's been the victim of the most horrific kind of discrimination and hatred and violence, and he doesn't want that to happen to mutant kind.
Yeah, well, and he's seen the worst of humanity, and, and is kind of striking first in his own kind of way, or just, like, fighting back. It's the dichotomy between him and Professor X, which is what makes it so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, and we're not the first people that will say this, but civil rights.
Yeah, it's an oft repeated, and it's true, you know, it's a fact about the X-Men. Yeah.
That's parallel to the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
Professor X is MLK, and yeah, Magneto's Malcolm X.
Yep.
And that's the idea. And yeah, it's a tragic story. It's what drives him. It humanizes him and prevents him from being like a mustache twirling evil guy.
Well, it gives such a good justification for why he would have his own faction to oppose the X-Men, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. And it's also good that the X-Men have their own villains in their own right, but it is what elevates Magneto to that kind of, you know, arch enemy status, I guess you'd say, for the X-Men. From the first issue, too. And he's got mm-hmm. a fucking awesome costume. Like, this movie doesn't do it, even though I do like the look they go with for Ian McKellen in this one, but my god, in the comics, I love his outfit.
Oh, that helmet.
Well, the helmet and the cape and just the whole deal. I'm on board for that.
Yeah, the just the vibrant
mm-hmm.
color scheme and everything. Yeah, it's sick. X-Men have a lot of my favorite costumes.
They got a lot of good ones. Yeah.
The classic Wolverine, in my mind, it's the classic. The 90s Jim Lee Wolverine is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites is that fucking screaming canary yellow.
Oh, God, yeah. And the blue gloves, yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people our age, it'd be their looks from the X-Men 90, you know, the 90s show cartoon.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of where our experience with the X-Men, and then, you know, X-Men Evolution. And...
Yeah, that's the one where I really liked. I really liked that one. That's where I actually sunk my teeth into it. Because I've seen episodes of the 90s show, and it's you know, it's good, but it was never my favorite. You know what I mean? It's like, X-Men are hard, man, to get into. They're like a glacier.
And like, you look back at some of the comics and it's like, you know, looking into the fucking abyss.
Yeah.
And like, your eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
At all the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got into it from the 90s cartoon show and just how fucking sick that opening is. Where they're like charging at like good and evil are charging at each other headlong. Ugh, good stuff. But enough of that. It's Mississippi. In the not too distant future, next Sunday, AD,
somewhere in time and space.
We meet up with Rogue.
Yeah,
not talking about yet Rogue.
Yeah, Marie, last name to be determined. She's talking about how she wants to go all the way up there to Canada,
and then they go up to, you know, Alaska for. That's what makes it an adventure.
Yeah, that's cold. That's what makes it an adventure. Just like the Donner Party.
Yeah, that's the you hear everyone? If it's not cold, it's not an adventure.
Yeah. If it's snowing
outside. Fuck you, Bilbo. Did you freeze?
No. No cold, no adventure.
No, that's the rule. Frodo went on a mountain. Adventure.
Rogue's rules for adventure has to be cold. Check.
It's cold. There's some dude. I don't know what his. Yeah.
I think it's like boyfriend or boyish friend or friend who is a boy who's hanging out.
Yeah. He goes in for a kiss. They kiss and then he has a seizure, basically. Yeah. Must have been a hell of a kiss.
Yeah. And she's, it's Anna Paquin is playing Rogue. Mm-hmm. She's good. You know, it's Anna Paquin, so of course. It did make me laugh that Liz, like, man, Anna Paquin can't get away from doing Southern accents.
For I know, right? She's, like, that's just what she does. And, I've never seen
True Blood. The beginning of True Blood's good, and then it just goes on for way too long.
You can keep making these jokes, and they'll just go right over my head.
I won't make too many. There isn't a lot of time for him in this one.
But yeah, and She freaks out, but thankfully she lives in a very progressive state of Mississippi, so everything should be fine.
And then we hear Jean Grey talk.
Yep, about how
Mutants are
mutants
mutanting, and they
they
got.
deserve to be anonymous and not put on a horrible registry when.
And it's not like what it sounds like either the beginning of her speech, but it's actually apparently the end of her speech because Senator Kelly interjects with like, "Yeah, but these fucking filthy mutants though, they could come into our schools and a fart kill everybody with noxious gas. Is that what
Yeah,
you want, Jean Grey?"
but what about someone that could walk into a bank? They could walk into your homes. Yeah, so could anybody. Yeah, I mean, the Senator Kelly is very heavy-handed and
At least
in his
from the
rhetoric.
comics too,
He
as I
is.
remember,
Yeah. I did not catch the actor's name, but he is a
It
that guy
is
actor.
he is. It's Bruce Davison.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he does. He plays the part really well.
Oh yeah, no, he's great. Yeah, but yeah, Senator Kelly in the comics is the anti-mutant, and
But if you save his life from Arcade in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, he will change his opinion on mutants, and you can possibly get a little bit of the good ending. Maybe do that.
there's not that much of a good ending, though.
I mean, there is if you do all the right, all the right stuff.
Eh, somewhat. Oh, wow. And then I hit my table. Okay. But yeah, he's proposing a registration act where they have to register with the government and be put onto a list with their powers and then.
And then what's going to happen is that Tony Stark's going to lead one side, and then Captain America's going to lead the. Oh, wait
No, that's a
a
superhero
minute.
registration act, not a mutant
Ah,
registration
yeah,
act.
that's the big difference here.
Which is why the X-Men stayed the fuck out of it, which was weird, because that whole storyline, they were just like,
Except for
nah.
Bishop. Except for
Yeah.
Bishop. Bishop shows up, he's like, "Yeah, I'll join up." That was weird to me.
Everyone else is just like, yeah, that's a New York City problem. We're out here in
Yeah, we're at
Westchester.
Westchester and we have fucking sentinels watching over the goddamn school. No, fuck off,
Nah.
Tony.
We're also, yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't make logical sense, and every mutant would likely be against all the registration, to be
Yeah,
honest.
and
And
then they would have like huge amounts of numbers for the Secret Avengers, and then they just beat the ass out of the pro registration.
yeah, and so
Yeah,
they,
it's all very poorly written, it seems.
yeah, it'd probably just be best for them to just stay out of it.
Yeah.
So they do. It's
They do.
very frustrating.
It's also like how you notice that Thor and the Hulk stay out of
Well, that's because Thor was dead, and the Hulk was in
it.
space.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
No, the Thor died during the Avengers Disassembled, so he would not have been. He didn't come back until later, and then the Hulk was in space.
Wait, he didn't die in Disassembled.
Well, it was something where he got like he died after following the events
Jack
of
of
Disas.
Hearts, yeah, Jack of Hearts dies in Disassembled, but yeah,
Yeah.
he's gone for a little while.
He dies though, and then he's brought back to life.
Well,
That's
yeah.
and that's where
That's why I
like
said
Donald
dies,
Blake.
quote unquote.
That's where Donald Blake, like, is gone forever, and I
Yeah.
think it's just Thor for all the time. But yeah, and the Hulk's not doing Planet Hulk stuff. He has very good reasons as to why he's not in the Civil War.
The Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he came back and beat everybody's ass.
Yeah. That a world war.
It was mostly like a New York war.
It's a very shitty world war if I think
It's
about
like
it.
a very localized world war, which really
Yeah.
defeats the whole point of being a world war.
And then like and all the people that tried to fight it were also from New York, so is it really that big of a deal? It's more of a New York war, but that doesn't sell
Yeah, New
New
York
York
War.
War horror.
Yeah, that's a cumbersome title. Joe Quesada would never approve of that.
But anyway, we see the Professor X played by Patrick Stewart, is watching all of this. I'm just like, just wipe his mind. Just make him say something stupid. But that's not his Senator Kelly, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were like Patrick Stewart. I was
no,
like,
no, no.
Hey,
no,
you
no,
say
no.
something stupid. Like the David Hayter's like typing up at the computer.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. David Hayter is the screenplay.
The Solid Snake.
The voice of Solid Snake.
Yeah. He writes a lot of the... At least, I think in a lot of early 2000 superhero movies, he wrote a few of them. I think he wrote one of the Blades.
Yeah. Which we will have to get to at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. But he rolls off because he sees Magneto in there, and they have a conversation where it's like, yeah, Magneto's like, it's inevitable. They're going to register us. Then boom, we're going to be hunted.
Yeah. And they're going to be building giant purple-suited machines to fuck us up. Is that what you want, Charles?
Yeah, a giant three-story-tall robot just to capture a girl that creates sparkles from her fingers?
Do you think that's an appropriate response?
You know, that's another problem I have with X-Men as an aside. Like, most people with mutant powers have very spectacularly lame superpowers.
Yeah, they're fucking harmless. It wouldn't like, destabilize or hurt nobody.
It's like, Jubilee is fine. You're okay. We don't, like... But I just, because that's the first episode of the TV show, is Jubilee being hunted by the Sentinels, which are the size of a fucking skyscraper.
They're great guys. They're also super cool. Love them.
Great.
But, like, yeah, it is, like... Well, that's the thing, too, from... Because I read the... Remember reading, like, the first issue of, like, Ultimate X-Men, and they have this whole little bit where the Sentinels cause this huge controversy because they essentially just kill a guy in the middle of the street and cause all this collateral damage just to kill one guy who, I guess, had mutant powers. And it's like, yep, that's the Sentinels for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, most of them are like, this seems like a disproportionate response. Like, it's just the Blob. You're fine.
Yeah. Or Toad.
Yeah, he just hops good.
Yeah.
It's like, fine.
Not all of them are fucking Scarlet Witch or, you know, Cassandra Nova.
Or,
Cannonball. Banshee.
Banshee's fine.
Black Tom Cassidy.
I mean, you're just listing up, you know.
The Juggernaut. Not
a mutant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Decidedly.
Goddamn Crystal Satorak.
Yeah, he is a. If anything, he is more like a D&D warlock, in which he is.
That's true. Yeah.
He has pledged himself to a much higher patron who has given him power, but he is not a
awesome
mutant.
Character, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a Juggernaut figure here. It's fucking great. Colossus?
Yeah.
He's not lame.
No, he's not lame.
You know, gotta go after those real heavy hitters like
Dust.
Blob Herman.
Your magician.
Marrow.
Yeah.
Unus the Untouchable?
Is he a mutant?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
He's not particularly interesting.
A lot of them aren't particularly interesting.
No, it's Shark Boy.
Is that an actual...
I
only thought Shark Boy hung out with Lava Girl or whatever.
Well, and there's also the Wrestler.
Is there a wrestler
TNA.
Culture? Oh, that's why I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic.
We're
tangentializing everywhere.
Yeah. Magneto eventually just warns that the war is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things are, you know, it's inevitable, Charles. It's inevitable. And then he walks off, and yeah, Patrick Stewart just kind of looks, you know, very sullen. And then we go to Northern Alberta, Canada. The natural
Woo.
Home of the X-Men.
Woo! Yeah, the most
like,
evil government in all of Marvel.
It's
Canada.
So fucking funny. It really is, yeah.
It was like, really? That's another one where it's like, really? Canada? The Canadian government is the one that experimented
about
Wolverine?
Hey, we'll treat those fucking mutants just like how they should be treated. With no mercy.
Yeah, strike first, strike hard, no mercy, eh?
We'll understand their biology to create our own heroes.
Yeah, we'll call them Alpha Flight.
They'll protect us from all kinds of threats. You know, like...
foreign and domestic, like the insurrectionists
from Quebec or whatever.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They'll smite our enemies in the name of fucking William Mackenzie Lion King.
What I also love about Northern Alberta is that the bar is lit by burning trash.
I know. Yeah, Rogue is going up there, and she gets a ride from a truck driver, and she's like, I thought you were going to take me to Laughlin City. And he's like, this is Laughlin City.
This barn is Laughlin City.
I was like, that counts as a city in a Fallout game. Was Canada made by Bethesda?
it's one barn that's not actually a barn. They've converted it.
It's a barn/mobile home. They look more like they crashed into each other at some point and they just used the remains to create a settlement.
Oh yeah, hey, this is the most hopping place in Northern Alberta. Mm-hmm. We got
the government
everything.
Took all the regular material and money for their experiments on mutants, so we gotta make do with what we got.
You turned into a little bit of John F. Kennedy, like a folksy John F. Kennedy.
Oh man, I gotta work on that later.
But yeah, it's like I'm like, oh, the not too distant future, huh? Once Justin Trudeau took over, lighting just fucking tanked.
For my papa Pierre, I will turn Canada.
Oh man, it's just. Burning trash, cage fights.
But yeah, not even it's normal Alberta behavior.
Not even normal cage fights. It's more just like, anybody that want to challenge this guy?
Yeah, you want to challenge this homeless bum fights, but with a cage. Anybody, anybody.
I'll challenge him. I can shut him up. And that guy, you know, comes down, Wolverine, just like, gets his ass kicked for a little bit, then just punches his... They punch fists?
Yeah. They fist bump, but, like, more extreme.
And then he's got, you know, Wolverine's got a metal hand. Mm-hmm. So that guy's hand gets broken.
That's not the only thing he has. It's not like he's, like, you know, just metal hand and then everything else.
That's his mutant power.
He just has a metal hand.
That's our other... We need to send a giant robot after this man. He's got one metal hand.
It's like they built fucking giant killer robots to deal with the people and heroes. It's like none of these people are threatening.
To give them enough time, they were working on it.
Yeah. Eventually we'll find somebody.
Yeah, they were... he's got a metal head. He's just as bad as Captain Hook.
And to think he would go on to play Captain Hook years later.
Really?
Yeah, they did like another Peter Pan, and Hugh Jackman was Cap Puck.
Wow. Shows that I know.
It's not that good, so don't worry about it.
Oh, that's okay. Well, so yeah, the fight's over. Rogue is watching and just kind of drinking water at the bars. Mm-hmm. Wolverine comes up, and he just asks for a beer, which, another aside, I hate when people do that. Like, you ever gone to a bar and just like, I'll have a beer? Like, bartender's gonna ask a whole kind of like, what kind of beer? What size of beer do you want? Like, I guess they only have the one beer brand beer out of Canada.
Yeah. Well, under these policies from that fucking Justin Trudeau for these mutant experiments, we only have the one beer.
Oh yeah, actually, Canada outlawed everything that wasn't Molson's.
Yeah.
If you want something else, you can go to the Timmy's. They'll give you some.
You gotta fucking cross the border if you want something else.
Yeah. So, get some coffee. Anyway, the guy comes up to him and disagrees. He's like, nobody could have taken that much of a beating. You're one of them. You're not exactly the greatest showman. Thank you.
Hugh Jackman's and stuff, everybody.
There's other things that he did. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll catch you next week.
We hope we'll keep you updated.
I got an IMDb page and I'm not afraid to use it. The guy pulls out a knife, which I don't know what is he expecting. The guy already kicked your ass. Like, he broke your hand, dude.
Well, you know, you bring a knife to a mutant fight, you never know what's going to happen. Got to arm yourself up there on the tough fucking frozen roads of Alberta.
And yeah, so then the claws come out. Wolverine, because he's got claws?
Yeah, snicked.
And he's like, that's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's not a knife. These are knives.
And then the bartender tells him to get out of the bar. And he has a shotgun. Mm. Wolverine fucking takes it out with his claws.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, I'll leave. And then he leaves, and then Rogue follows after him.
Yeah, but I'm not paying for this beer.
Nope. Didn't even give me the right one, you jerk.
Yeah, that's for a beer, brand beer.
That's for beer. You gave me the wrong beer.
This is near beer. But yeah, she stows away at Wolverine's. I guess it's not really a mobile home.
It's more just like a. It's like a camper.
Yeah, it's a camper that Wolverine keeps all of his valuable possessions and combustible materials in.
Mm-hmm. And everything in there is combustible.
All of it. Mm-hmm. Wolverine has so very few possessions.
He likes to hoof gasoline while he drives.
Just, hey, Rogue, can you hand me one of those oily rags? I like to sniff them. Keep those next to the old newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good shit.
Just trying to forget my dreams, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What was I saying? Anyway. Do you like the smell? It's gasoline.
Yeah.
The kerosene. All the scenes, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has a camper
van. It's my scene.
Oh. He has a camper van and he's pulling along a motorcycle. And then I don't remember how exactly he figures out that Rogue's in the back.
I don't either, but he eventually stops the car and then, like, is poking at the, like, not truck bed, but, like, the bed of the.
I don't recall if we're packing a sookie.
Yeah. Sookie! it means nothing to you because you have no idea. Anyway,
no, it's about vampires and has a lot of fuck in it. That's everything I know about it.
That's pretty much it. Like you got that's, like the that's yeah.
That's I mean, what else is there to know?
Werewolves show up occasionally, as well as
that fucking course. But anyway, like, eventually, Rogue just, because Wolverine puts on a big tough guy act, but he's got a heart of gold and claws of metal.
Yeah.
And
claws
so
of pure adamantium.
He is going to leave her outside of, you know, the middle of nowhere, also known as Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he lets her in, gives her some beef jerky.
Yeah. The only thing he has to eat in that entire fucking camper.
Yeah, no, just rusty, just old oily rags.
Those are for me, though. Can't have none of them.
Yeah. And, eventually it's like, yeah, you should really put on a seatbelt. Like, what? Why?
Seatbelts are for American dummies. You listen here, girl, and then a tree falls in front of the camper van. He flings right out the goddamn
windshield cannons out of there. Like it's fucking GTA 4.
Yeah.
And he heals up. Unfortunately, all of everything he owns, damage in the tens of dollars has happened because a fire breaks out in the back of his camper. Who knew? He was being so safe.
He's so careful.
Just lights up. And this is why you don't. Rogue, this is why you don't put on a seatbelt, because it locks you in.
Yeah, if something dangerous happens, it'll kill you. So what's the point of that?
Yeah, the best thing to do is just to walk.
Yeah, just stay, sit down, don't go anywhere.
But a wild saber tooth appears.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Mane, appears on the scene.
And yeah, he looks the part.
He totally looks the part, yeah.
For, I mean, if you're not going to do the awesome Sabretooth.
That's also where... a hard costume to pull
off. I would imagine that that costume, as much as I love it, would not look at all good.
It would be difficult. I just always wonder how they would... Because comics do this all the time, where some characters have like a headpiece thing. I always wonder how that would work if you tried to translate that into live action, because they almost never do.
Yeah, because like if you it'd basically be like the animated one, because that all takes from the Jim Lee thing. But he's just basically just covered in fur. He looks like he's, you know, like a orangish Bigfoot.
Yeah, like a bestial Bigfoot. Well, because I think that they want to do that because they want to make him look different from Beast. Once Beast goes into full on like blue cat mode, you know, you want to make him look different than Sabretooth, because it'd be very easy for those two to parallel.
Mm. But yeah, they tussle.
Mm-hmm.
They don't appear to know each other, interestingly.
Well, Sabretooth appears to have a fascination with Wolverine. But they don't go into any of their any implied backstory. But Sabretooth very much appears fascinated by Logan. Like, he keeps his dog tags.
Yep, it's a Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. When you join the Canadian Army, you just get called by your animal, your spirit animal.
Your spirit animal?
Yep. That's how we do things up here, up north.
Yeah, well, and before, like, you know, Rogue introduces herself as Rogue. And he's like, what kind of a name is Rogue? Like, what kind of a name is Wolverine?
He's like, it's French, you dumb jerk.
It's from Michigan.
I fought the Russians, okay?
Don't remember that. There was a Red Dawn. But yeah, Wolverine gets knocked out. It looks like, situation's going south, but that's okay because Storm and Cyclops appear.
Yeah, they appear on the scene. Everybody's favorites, everybody. Cyclops is here.
Cyclops is here to save the day.
Oh, God. Yeah. Storm's great. I got nothing against Storm.
Halle Berry is awesome as Storm. It's inspired casting. She does the best with what she's got, even though it's.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually appear to be all that much.
Well, this is one of my main critiques with the movie. It's that the actual X-Men who aren't Logan, very flat. Professor X gets a bit. Magneto gets a bit. Everybody just gets... They don't get... There's not a lot that anybody does, really. Everybody's just kind of, like, paper thin.
Yeah, that's... The problem is that they're trying to introduce this whole world. And they're using Rogue and Wolverine to kind of, you know,
show us
the world.
I totally get that, but I think it just goes to show how, I mean, like these days you can do, like, well, these days if you do a superhero movie like this, they would give you a bit more of a budget and you'd get a bit more time to pull off. Because this movie is only an hour 44 minutes. We are moving.
That's actually, I think, one of the better parts of the movie is how much they're able to do in the hour 44. Like, I think it's fairly solid. It's just that, yeah, we don't ever get to learn about other these characters, and it's kind of relying on the fact that you probably already knew about them.
Or at least hopes that you can pick up fairly quickly.
But, I mean, yeah, so Cyclops, his deal is that he has eye lasers, and that's fucking it.
Yeah, he's, useless.
He has leadership skills.
Yeah, and I guess he has some form of charisma.
He can.
I like James or Jason Marsden. He's good.
James Marsden.
Yeah.
Yeah. He. Yeah. I mean, I just don't like Cyclops.
He sucks. Cyclops sucks so much. He's so dull. Like, I cannot. I've never ever been able to see the appeal of Cyclops. Ever.
Yeah,
what a lame fucking power.
Yeah, he shoots eye lasers, and then
he puts on these glasses and these glasses aren't just blown off by the force. No, it's, what is it? What is the red thing?
It's red, red quartz or whatever.
Quartz, what stops the eye lasers?
They form from the punch dimension or something? I don't know. Just shoots out red lasers out of his eyes. His eyes are mostly red lasers. Because he can't control it unless he has the visor.
He has to have the visor.
Or sunglasses. Mm-hmm. But mostly he just goes out of the visor. Mm-hmm. And he has the Leonardo problem too, where it's just like, I'm the leader, and that's all my personality a lot of the time.
Well, that's all they, like, all they're able to, all they care to give him, really. Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure there's stories where he's good. I'm sure there's stuff that happens where he's, you know, where he's a good character.
If in the course of 60 years of comic books, they've managed to make at least one or two good stories, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, I know that, like, I enjoy him when he's on, like I said, X-Men Evolution was something I enjoyed a great deal. I liked him in that. He was totally fine in that. It's just that power I've always found to be lacking.
Well, like, even
lacking.
Even because I used to play, like, X-Men Legends. Pretty sure he's in Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
He is, yeah.
And, like, you know, what power... because what his powers are... Well, he shoots it with the I-beams. Mm. Or he shoots the I-beams.
I will say, they do make the I-beams pretty fucking badass in it. Where they're, like, they're a super effective weapon. But even still...
Well, they better be, because that's all he's got.
That's all he can do, yeah. It's like having Elektra in there, and you make her fucking size fucking, like, not work.
Like, yeah, you took away the I-beams. What else you got?
Leadership.
You just, dude. Yeah, leadership.
He can inspire you to finish your shift.
Great, he's a middle manager.
He really is. He fucking is, though, I swear to God.
Yeah, he's the... I don't want to say least favorite X-Men, or bandy that about, but... Considering he's one of the few original X-Men that they have in here.
Well, I will say this. He's more useful than Angel, because Angel fucking sucks.
Angel is very clearly the worst of the original X-Men.
Sucks so much. Of the original five, Angel needed a bazooka to do anything useful.
The only way that they could have made him useful, or the only way they found was, like, let's turn his wings metal and give him missiles.
Yeah, let's have him fucking be enhanced by Apocalypse, turn him into a horseman. And he was fucking rad.
Yeah, well, they figured out a way to turn him into something interesting. Otherwise, without that, it's like...
He sucks.
Yeah, I got wings.
I can fly. I'm like a bird. I'm practically a dinosaur. I should call myself Dinosaur Boy.
I think that's a thing.
That is a thing. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure in, like, 1964, it was much more novel to be able to just fly.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just kind of like, handful of things. Because the other four, like, so the original, you got Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman, and then, of course, Angel, as we previously mentioned. The other four have useful stuff, you know, that they can do. And then I feel like it's like, well, we need five, so, all right, Angel.
Yeah,
there you go, Warren.
Because, a lot of them, they get three out of them in there, because Iceman gets a big demotion, just being student.
Yeah, student Bobby Drake, yeah.
Even though he is very awesome, I love Iceman. He can, you know, shoot ice, pilot. Yeah.
He's like the Human Torch, but colder.
Exactly like that, except he can't fly.
Oh, well.
He glides on the ice.
Yeah, he's like Frozone from The Incredibles.
Yes. Or he takes an F-22 and calls Maverick dangerous.
Yeah, he's played by Val Kilmer in the comics.
Exactly. So, Cyclops and Storm defeat Sabretooth fairly easily, actually.
Yeah.
And rescue Rogue and pick up Logan and then fly to New York.
Westchester. Yeah.
Yep, upstate New York. Yeah, we also see the Brotherhood Lair.
Yeah, the lair's pretty neat.
Yeah, they're just the Brotherhood. They're not the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, though.
No,
that is a much better name.
Well, when they call themselves the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, I mean, nobody's gonna work with them then. You put it right on fucking...
You put it on Front Street, what we're about.
Yeah, it's like Murder Incorporated. You know, this is pretty much all we do.
Yeah, I mean... Boss, I don't feel like I'm an evil mutant. I just feel like our means to shut up, Toad.
Yeah, well, that's why, like, in Ultimate Marvel, I know that they're the Brotherhood of Mutant Supremacy, which actually also, it kind of fits that.
That works better.
Sect. Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, that of the villains that they've picked, I like they picked a good mix of Brotherhood villains.
Yeah, they picked a solid lineup of the, like, I would say, like, the... In my mind, people who are some of like the heavy hitters of the Brotherhood, because the other ones that come to mind with the Brotherhood are like
Avalanche, Pyro, Blob,
Pyro, yeah.
But Pyro's here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
shows
see
off
him.
A fireball.
Yep, he's lame, but I like, you know, he's all right.
Yeah,
I always thought the Pyro's very, very boring.
It's a neat idea. Like, it's a good idea for a mutant power.
Yeah, well, it's one of those that'd be a lot cooler if he wasn't in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like in somewhere
well,
else.
That's the thing is like there's so much to it. It's almost like X-Men almost belong in their own universe sort of thing. That's why it almost like you were saying them being insular from the rest of it, so it almost works in their favor because there's so much kind of internally going on that works in its favor that, you know, gets contrasted so much with the wild shenanigans of the outside world.
But yeah, we got Mystique. She can, as Rebecca Romijn Stamos at this point,
yep.
She can transform. Yeah. This is very cool. Toad, the Ray Park.
Yep.
He's a toad.
Jumps around. It's got a long tongue. Spits,
fire. Spits just the hottest verses of the year 2000.
He seems like a British punk, but yeah.
And then Sabretooth and Magneto.
Yep.
Which, yeah, very solid. Very solid Brotherhood lineup. They're plotting. Magneto's doing this cool thing where he's doing a Newton's Cradle, but just with his mind.
Yeah.
Showing off how, like,
how showing off awesome the it. Sweet CG of 2000, man.
Doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't look that good either. You can tell.
It's like... Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It's solid. I did notice something that made me, like, wonder. So, if you notice, the Brotherhood layer, it, you know, has this certain kind of aesthetic to it. Like Magneto's, they'll say office or whatever, and then you look at the X Mansion and the kind of their underground lair. They look very similar, so I wonder if Magneto was the one who designed the look of the lower levels of the X Mansion.
I don't know.
That's just something I thought of because they were part of like they formed the X Men together in this world. Charles says later, so I always wondered like if you look at like the design of the Brotherhood Island, which we find out later that it is. It has a lot of the same kind of like aesthetic motifs and stuff throughout it.
Yeah, Island M.
Yeah, Island M. Yeah, we couldn't afford to put it in space.
Fucking asteroid? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
On this economy?
Do you know how much money that would cost?
Wolverine wakes up. Jean Grey is drawing his blood,
mm-hmm.
something, and then he freaks the fuck out.
Yeah, he's like, put the pen and paper down, lady.
he steals one of those cool zip-up hoodies, which I gotta say.
Get that X merch.
Yeah. I do gotta say, I like that hoodie.
That's
I would
an
love
X hoodie. That's a good hoodie.
I'd wear that hoodie.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes all Metal Gear and works his way upstairs and interrupts a physics class. The Professor X is in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, learn physics. We get some cool. You see, there's some mutants there. One of them's clearly Jubilee. Or at
One of them's
least.
Kitty Pryde.
Yep. No other human being would wear a jacket that yellow. Has to be
No,
Jubilee.
it has to be Jubilee. Plus, along with the sunglasses on the head.
Yeah, couldn't be anybody
Jubilee.
else. Yeah. It's like, oh, Logan, welcome to the school.
Yeah.
It's the safest place to have a battle, a fighting force.
It's the best place to train child soldiers. It's my best
Gotta be.
idea.
This is the idea. See, we train them on how to best use their mutant powers and be members, functioning members of society. And failing that, they join my paramilitary
And then I
organization.
snap my fingers and they fight the enemies of my agenda. He's like, all you need is like a cat to stroke fucking professor, and you could be a Bond villain.
I mean, he's not that
No, he's not.
evil.
We're dead with That's definitely the most reductive take on the entire thing.
Just
But,
like,
no,
oh, I see you wanted to go to business school. I'll let you go. Or do you?
But do you want to fight the Brotherhood? You might get to have a fight on a plane.
Yeah, he meets the Wolverine meets the team. And he had Storm and Cyclops. And yeah, he's the way that Patrick Stewart is giving these lines, like, this is Scott Summers, also known as Cyclops. Like, it just feels very off and awkward. And
Yeah.
I think,
They try to make it work, but
and he's like, what do you call you, Wheels? Because we can't have code names. That's
Well, they
dumb.
just well, 'cause they call him they just call him Professor X, don't they, or
Yeah,
Charles.
the
So
professor.
that checks.
Well, and the interesting thing to me is that Wolverine is the one that's giving these like flippant lines as if he doesn't already have a
Because
fucking name.
people don't
That
call
like
him Wolverine.
as if he's not walking around with Wolverine dog tags, too cool for school.
He's like, I fought the Russians, you fuckers. Leave me alone.
Like, and then Jean Grey comes out like, do you have one? Like, no, I used to in the 60s, but nobody
Yeah,
liked it, so.
nobody remembers Marvel Girl. And then I think so. There's another Rachel Summers, isn't she Marvel Girl now?
Probably. I don't
There's a
know.
bunch of fucking Summers kids. Fucking Corsair couldn't keep it in his pants.
And yeah, I guess Phoenix wouldn't really catch on, so.
Well, she hasn't. Well, they're not there yet, so.
No, they're not. So now and forever. But yeah, that is always interesting to me that they never, in all of the years since they dropped Marvel Girl, they're just like, nah, she's just Jean Grey.
She's just. Yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't
They
either.
probably just
Like,
couldn't come up with anything that was like as good, maybe.
far out. Because she's telekinetic.
She's also on a hippie commune.
Yeah, that's
I'm
just what she does. Or,
gonna defend the rights of my mutant brothers and sisters, man.
yeah, man.
Far out.
Jean Grey is telekinetic, telepathic, and telecommuter. She just.
She is. Her favorite game is telephone.
it's just what she's all about. And yeah, Wolverine is just a massive dick to everyone.
Well, that fits though. I really like I do like his characterization where he has that kind of gruff. Like you said, you can tell he has a heart of gold, but he definitely has been well, Professor X will mention it. He's been isolated for 15 years. He's been, just on his own, and now he's having a hard time opening up to all these fucking strangers. He basically just kidnapped him out of the goddamn snowy wilderness, and then, woke up here, and some lady was drawing his blood like one of his French girls.
Just played out. But yeah, then we learn a little bit more about the team as they're walking and talking. Well, not all of them are walking. He's
He's
more like
rolling and
pushing.
talking.
Yeah, just rolling, 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 rolling. it goes through all the different areas of the school. Like, no, this is the horse stables. That's I've lost the word. I was gonna say horse pen, and I was like, that's not right.
The horse stables.
And they're gonna go through.
And these
They're
are our
like,
people stables.
yeah. So all we do here is basically train child soldiers.
Yeah,
And
we teach them to we teach them to to fight and die for that country or for my cause, whichever you prefer.
They also learn valuable classes. Unfortunately, we only have the three actual NB. It's really kind of a small
Small
school.
affair, yeah. And all the teachers are also members of this X-Men deal, so sometimes they have to go out and fight crime, or crises, or I really don't know. We never really confirmed what they do exactly,
Yeah.
or
But
why they're team anyway.
it's kind of a bad racket, but they can fly a plane.
Yeah.
Huh. So yeah, that's the Professor X is rich doing. His family's rich, right?
I think so,
Then
yeah.
yeah. And he opens up his own like non-profit school for gifted
Gifted youngsters,
youngsters.
yeah.
Yeah. Dude, like, give me 48 hours and I'll uncover your, because Wolverine's past is all a mystery. This is before he got his like
Yeah, before Origin, wasn't it? When they did the
when they
big
actually
reveal.
confirmed, what the hell his whole backstory was.
Yeah, when they revealed his true name is James Howlett. Yeah, because here's you can do a bit of backstory on Wolverine. Wolverine first appeared in Incredible
Incredible
Hulk
Hulk.
181. Yeah, so they have a kind of I always like when they end up meeting or pairing up and stuff because it's like fun. Like, ha, that's where you came from, Wolverine.
Yeah, then like as a bad guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Started out as like a bad. He's who cre is John Byrne created him, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Which I think
then
is why he's Canadian.
yeah. Well, it's interesting too, like just thinking about it, like Rogue also started out as a bad guy, but like reformed
Oh,
by
really?
yeah, she's in the Brotherhood, but it was when she stole Captain Marvel's powers. When she took Carol Danvers' powers, that her person, the Captain Marvel personality imprinted on her, and turned, that's why she could fly and she's super strong, because she took the that power from
Wait,
Captain Marvel.
so hold
Rogue
on.
was a Brotherhood member. That's why her name's Rogue.
Well, that's I okay, you had me there and then you were talking all this Captain Marvel stuff. So like I thought when Rogue like touched so does when she touches somebody she keeps power for all time? I thought she gets it for like
Depends on how long they are
how
like
long was she
locked in.
touching Captain Marvel?
It's a very long time apparently. Like, but yeah, she can permanently take some like due to it. I don't remember why. It was something like the
So
nature of the power or
here's a
whatever.
really nerdy question some listeners might not care for, but I don't mind. So if let's say Rogue encountered somebody, let's say Spider-Man when he's like full up on Captain Universe stuff, and if she touched Peter slash Captain Universe, would she have the powers of Captain Universe?
I think so. I think that's kind of how her, like, she can steal powers if the person is superpowered. Otherwise, she just takes what's unique to that person, like their memories or whatever. But it was
Huh.
that, but yeah, it was through taking Captain Marvel. That's why, like, Rogue and Captain Marvel were on the outs for a long time.
I didn't know any of this stuff, man.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, but that's what, why Rogue can fly
So
and
that's
super
why she can do
strong.
all that stuff. Okay. I thought that
Because
was just was like so because what I always I knew nothing about Rogue. I know jack fucking nothing about Rogue, by the way. And so what I always knew for of the character from like the shows and stuff. Well, at least from the 90s cartoon, I thought that she was that was just like her baseline, and then
No.
her other mutant power thing was like the power stealing, and I was like, man, she's OP. She's even more OP than I knew before.
No, she's this the power stealing, but she took the Captain Marvel's power. For
Huh.
a little bit. And then Captain Marvel got, like, regained her own power. But yeah, she siphoned some of that off from Captain Marvel, which makes sense because Captain Marvel's like grossly powerful,
Yeah.
and so we bounce back. But yes, that is why in the cartoon she's. I think they have an episode that explains that in the show, but it's been a while since I've seen it. Anyway, Senator Kelly's flying to wherever. He gets his
Yeah.
own like a helicopter.
Well, he has one of those, U.S. Senate provided helicopters for traversal.
Yeah, they do
And
that.
he's talking to one of his aides, and he's like, "We're gonna get this mutant bill passed, and then we're gonna hunt for mutants in the army. That won't bring won't bring me down."
Yeah, we're gonna take the White House. Yeehaw.
And then his aide turns out to be Mystique, and she kicks him a whole bunch and knocks him out. And it's revealed that Toad's flying the helicopter to flying the helicopter to Island M.
Island M. And then eventually he gets mutated.
Yeah, Magneto has this big machine that white light will descend upon Senator Kelly, and he will either accept Jesus or he will mutate.
And he did not feel the power of Jesus on that day.
He's like, "Well, I'll try this mutation thing."
Yeah, welcome to the next stage of human evolution. It's called water.
Yeah, I never really understood what his mutation was, the
I
term.
think that he could like turn like blobby. Not like a stretchy, like a Mr. Fantastic, but he could be like, you know how Mr. Fantastic could like fit into crevices because he's like liquid?
Yeah.
I think that's what his power was. I think he could be like.
And he just couldn't. Well, because it seemed like he grew gills and stuff when he walks up on the beach.
Yeah, like because he can like blob out. I think he can
Maybe he's
do all
supposed to be
like
like a
the.
jellyfish.
Yeah, maybe he's like Alex Mack, but he can't bring himself to come back together.
That would be a horrifying thought.
Remember the Secret Life of
Yes.
Alex Mack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said that would be a horrifying
Yeah,
thought.
he's just. We'll get to his horrible fate. He deserved it. Fuck Senator Kelly.
Yeah. Well, nobody got to save him like fucking in Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yep. But yeah, they put Wolverine in the MRI. Him and Jean are flirting, and I'm still just like, Jean, you just met this guy. I know Cyclops is really boring, and
Yeah, but he has that Hugh Jackman charm about him, you know?
he does, yeah. When they find out that he has a metal skeleton.
Yeah, cause the
And
MRI machine to fucking implode.
yeah, I was wondering how they managed to fucking do an MRI.
Without some exploding.
And
Cause
I was
are
like,
you not supposed to have metal in that at all?
no, that's what the M in MRI is
Yeah.
magnetic.
Yeah.
So,
I don't
and
know.
it's
It's
very
mutant
clearly,
MRI.
he is ma like adamantium is very clearly magnetic because otherwise Magneto wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Unless, because like sometimes Magneto just seems like he has just vague control over all metal, which like not all metal is magnetic.
Well, I mean, maybe in the Marvel Universe. Well, fuck, man, maybe his power decides what's metal and what isn't metal.
Maybe he makes things metal.
Yeah. Maybe if he thinks hard enough, everything could be metal.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, just get over that mental barrier, Eric.
But yeah, so somehow Wolverine did not like get ripped to fucking shreds in the MRI.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, he's metal. Like who would have done that? How could he survive? I was like, well, he can heal fast.
Yeah, and Jean explains that, and she's like, "He's regenerative healing. We think he might even, we can't, the only way we'd know, we think he might be older than you, Professor, though the only way we'd know for sure is by cutting him in open and counting the rings."
Ah, and he is older than the professor.
Yeah, way older.
Significantly. Yeah, he's like 100.
At
I
least,
think.
yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he is, because,
Well,
like, I
he's
think he
born
was
in
born
like
in the
the 18.
1800s.
He's like born in the 1860s, I think. And then, like, yeah, he's like born in 18. I want to say the 1860s, because I have that comic somewhere
Yeah.
around here. Yeah.
And he's not like one of, he's not the first mutant, but he's one of the first. Or
Yeah.
like, he's an earlier one.
Yeah, one of like the probably like in the early America times or whatever.
Because, like, Apocalypse is the first mutant.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The only other ones I know that could be older is like Mr. Sinister.
Mr. Sinister definitely be older. I mean, relatively, I mean, not older, but of a comparative age, would be maybe like Namor.
Namor's not a mutant, though.
Yeah, he is.
The
He's the first.
Submariner?
Yes, the mute. He's the first. He's the first Marvel mutant.
He's an Atlantean.
No, he's a mutant. He's an Atlantean. He's an Atlantean mutant. The wings on his feet is a mutation.
So you say Namorita just has the same fucking power?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, hold on. Let's look this up.
This is.
Hold on.
Hold on, we gotta crawl this to a halt. We gotta figure out the.
Namor, a mutant. Not only a mutant, but an Atlantean human hybrid. Namor has a very unique physical makeup. He exhibits a long life and increased strength.
Well, there you go. And he fought a human torch, but not that one.
Yeah, and it was
Well,
fucking
eventually he fought
wicked.
that one. He fought both of them,
Yeah, he
but
fought
not
both
at
of
the
them,
same.
but the first one was actually pretty is actually a pretty noteworthy event in comics because it's like one of the first real crossovers between superheroes.
Yeah, and he's the Human Torch is an android.
Yeah,
It's
Jim
very
Hammond.
convoluted. Yeah.
Not really. He's an android. It gains sentience and fights the Nazis. There you go.
And yeah, there you go. Where were we?
I don't
Oh,
remember.
okay, yeah. Senator Kelly gets mutated, and then Jean and Logan, like, shows Logan to his room, and Jean, like, reads his mind.
Yeah, and she gets to see all the horrible things the Canadians did to
They put him in a
Logan.
maple syrup back to tank.
Yes. Oh, man.
In
This
an
will
effort
improve our country.
to not be so stereotypical, here you go.
Yeah.
Again, one of the funnier things about the Altless list, like how evil the Canadian government is in the Marvel
Or at
Universe.
least in terms to like how they deal with mutants. It's just like,
So,
oh
like,
no, we're not gonna, we give them no fucking quarter up here.
Weapon X.
Yeah. No mercy for mutants in Manitoba, that's what we say.
So he, Wolverine goes to bed, continues to have nightmares. Rogue, I don't know, sneaks into his room and he fucking stabs her because he gets into a nightmare.
Well,
Just
he
like,
you made it sound like she just walks into the room, he's like,
ah!
ah!
I'm gonna fucking cut you!
the turn you didn't expect, girl. Yeah. No,
Then,
he's having a nightmare about the terrible things that the Canadian government does to mutants, and he's like, no, you eat this bacon, god damn it, that's back bacon.
Here we call it. Here it's not Canadian bacon, it's just bacon.
It's just regular bacon. You goddamn
They call the other
understand
one.
me?
They call the other one's American bacon.
Yeah, the freaks. And,
We have ways of making you pronounce the letter O.
yeah, this is how you spell color with a U. You understand? And, fuck, I forgot my last name. Oh, yeah, so he's having dreams about, Logan's having all these dreams, and I guess Rogue heard him from wherever in the. She's like sleeping in bed, and she hears him fucking tussle. He must be louder than hell. How did nobody else check on him?
Nobody else knew him. They're all
Nobody else
just like
cared?
living their best lives. Including that one kid that could teleport and cheat at basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck that kid.
Oh,
Cheating bitch. That's traveling.
no powers. Yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah, she gets stabbed because he doesn't realize what's happening, and then she like touches his face, and then he gets all veiny, and then she like loses like she heals herself with his powers basically.
Because she can steal, like, absorb powers or
Yeah.
copy them briefly. And, yeah, everyone comes in and sees, and it's like, oh, no, I didn't mean to. And Wolverine is like, what the fuck happened?
Well, he's like, ah! He's like, he's screaming his damn death agonies on the bed there, and she just walks off like nothing happened. Yeah,
Yeah.
and they're left to deal with the mess.
Yep. Meanwhile, Senator Kelly is trying to escape because he can poke his head through, because he's turned into a blobby boy.
Yeah.
I have no other way to describe what's happening to him. He takes his head through, and he's just like, what if I tried to just squeeze my head through the bars?
You gotta make, you know, when you're trapped, you gotta try everything. I'm sure everybody's tried that once or twice. Am I a blobby boy too? I said in captivity, someone thought.
Yeah. Once I spent the night in county lockup and I tried to see if I was a blobby boy. I was not a blobby boy. But he's able to blob out or just kind of ooze out into the cliffside.
Squeeze himself through, and then, well, he doesn't fall immediately, but Magneto like pulls the bars off the window and is like, "Senator, you've turned into a blobby boy."
A blobby boy.
The newest member of my brotherhood.
Yeah, it's the next stage of human evolution, Senator. First step, we walked, and now we blob. And he's just like, please, I don't want to fall. And it's like, Sabretooth, come get him. And
yeah.
Sabretooth tries to grab him. He's like, surprise, motherfucker, blobby well, boy.
Blobby boy, you can't grab me. And then Sabretooth just grabs, just has like a, just his shirt sleeve, basically. And Magneto looks so disgusted that he traps Sabretooth in the cell.
Yeah, as Senator Kelly's blasting off again. Yeah, blobby boy. But that's okay. He forms out on a beach.
Yeah, basically.
Buck-ass naked because he blobbed out of his clothes.
Yeah, his clothes did not blob with him.
Well, you got to get special clothes that'll blob.
Yeah, they got to be specially treated. Only the X-Men make those clothes.
So apparently you can't stop the blob.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of, as a kid is like fucking around with the jellyfish, he's like, unblobs out over the beach. Just naked man. Everyone's like looking at him like, what, have you ever seen a human blob?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's not a mutant. He's just a blobby boy.
He's just a blobby boy, yeah. He thinks we're in Europe. Yeah, Stan Lee cameo. He's maintaining the hot dog stand while watching Sarah Kelly swing his dick out in the wind.
Well, we also get, like, they've been talking about a gala on Liberty Island where all of the UN leaders will be.
Yeah, they're all going to go to Ellis Island to do talk about mutant affairs or whatever. Everybody in the UN. Why are we going to do that at the UN headquarters? That shit can eat my dust.
Like, isn't that, all of them, isn't that what the UN is for?
You'd think so, but it's closed that day.
And, like, it also occurs to me that monkeying around with the genetics of UN folk is the plot of Batman 66.
Oh, yeah, it is.
We never go anywhere, man.
Yeah.
We always do the same shit.
The same thing over and over again. It's like poetry. It repeats.
Except, he's going to turn... the Joker and them were turning these senators into powder, and now they're turning them into water.
Well, I don't know if it would do that to everybody, right? If everybody would have that same reaction.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he just really didn't work all that well on it. Maybe it would have worked.
Well, maybe, like, that was just... I mean, who knows? Yeah, maybe a couple of them would have, but still, who knows?
Yeah, so, meanwhile, Iceman. Mm-hmm. Bobby himself, the Quantum Break guy.
Yeah, Robert Drake, Sean Ashmore.
Ashmore? Yeah. Aston? Ashmore? Sean Aston
is... Sean? Sean.
Yeah, he talks to Rogue and, like, everyone's freaked out. Stealing powers? That's beyond everything.
You know the rules. No animal can steal the power of another animal. Oh, wait, that's not animal.
Was that Animorphs?
No Animorph can steal the powers of another Animorph.
I don't know. I have no idea how Animorphs work. I just know there's a billion books.
I was making an Animal Farm joke.
Oh, email this web zone with your favorite Animorph.
But yeah, Bobby Drake, or who we think is quote unquote Bobby Drake, is like, you gotta get the fuck out of here. You gotta lie low. I mean, even for a mutant, you're an outcast. You're disgusting. Nobody likes you. They think your Southern accent makes you sound dumb.
Professor X thinks your mother dresses you funny. He's furious. He really hates gloves and functioning legs.
So you really take the boxes on his list? Everybody else is like 50%. You, oh man.
Professor X is gonna take this lying down. You'll take it seated. So she goes to the, they gotta find her. They don't know. She runs away.
Yeah, she goes to the nearest train station.
And it was actually Mystique.
Yeah, it wasn't just Bobby Drake being a dick.
Yeah. It's a train station, and they use Cerebro,
mm-hmm.
Which is cool that they brought that. Cerebro is just a big, big dome or a big ballroom where you can. It's not a ballroom.
Dance and find people.
It's a room that is a ball.
Nobody knew that the X-Men loved to dance with each other.
I did.
The ballroom. Yeah. Where we find the mutants.
You know, it's a big OSHA hazard. It's just a big walkway in the ball.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll just use this and I can find any mutant I want. Unless they're wearing a headgear.
Yeah, unless they're wearing a hat. Otherwise, can't find them.
Yes. Magneto, he used the helmet. It's the hat technology. I always wonder why it's just Magneto. You already know who his associates are. So couldn't you just track his associates?
I guess, right? I don't know. Right?
Like, what's stopping them from looking up where the fuck Sabretooth is?
Or does Professor X know who his associates are? Does he know it's just Sabretooth?
Well, they don't know. They haven't encountered Toad quite yet. But you know what I mean? Like, you ever just...
No, I get where you're coming from. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You'd think that everyone else would wear the helmets, too.
Maybe Magneto just fucking plastered the walls of Island X with that stuff that his helmet's made of.
That could be. They find her. She's in a train station. And Wolverine steals Cyclops' motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. It has one wheel, so it's more like a unicycle.
Yeah, it's a unicycle, the untouchable.
Yeah, he keeps the one theme.
Yeah. You know that they beat him by, like, just deciding that he can't, like, his powers evolve? It's like the most 60s thing ever to where he can't touch anybody else either.
I love that.
It's like, so he just spends all of existence unable to touch any object.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
While this is all going on, Mystique breaks into Cerebro and puts Coca-Cola in one of the tubes.
Green shit. That's what I wrote down. I don't know what this stuff is, but it's green shit. She puts green shit in Cerebro's fucking water tank.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be clear. Mm-hmm. She changes the fish filter and algae grows.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Logan, though, finds Rogue on the train. He's like, come on, give him another shot. Professor X isn't that. He's cool. He knows that his handicaps are his own problems.
Yeah.
He's handy capable.
Yeah. Old Ironsides can get the job done. What do you say?
Like, okay. But unfortunately, as a fucking Cyclops and Storm, Jean Grey did not go on this mission. Nor does she go on very many missions at all. Perhaps that's why she doesn't have... a code name.
Well, this she doesn't go. I mean, but she does stuff with the X-Men, doesn't she? Usually.
I mean, the only time that she goes out in an official X-Men capacity is in the last one, in the last like on Liberty Island.
So, I was talking about in comics and stuff.
Oh yeah, in comics and stuff, she had. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably just going with the fact of like nobody's gonna. We'll be pushing it if we start calling her Marvel Girl, because...
Mm-hmm. Well, also, Marvel Girl's just kind of a terrible name.
A little bit.
I mean, most of the names are like one word. That's the other
Well,
thing.
she could have been the original Miss Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, think about
Anyway,
that, Marvel Comics.
Sabretooth, like, well, Storm's like, have you seen this girl? Like,
She's about
yeah.
yay high. She has hair, gloves, ability to use her legs. Boss is real pissed about that.
Oh, the white girl.
Oh, the Missouri gal. Yeah.
And, yeah, Sabretooth like, pushes his way to the front, very rude. And asks Storm to scream, to which Cyclops just blows a hole in the fucking ceiling. And
Or is that, or that's not what happens. Like, isn't it Toad takes his visor?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. And then he blows it, puts a sunroof into that fucking train station.
And Storm electrocutes him. That seems to be her only play for controlling the weather. She tends to just electrocute people a lot.
She electrocutes people and she lifts them up. Not like, you know, emotionally. I mean, she's
you're
away.
A great person.
You're
and everyone
awesome.
Really likes you.
Yeah, it's okay that you can't use your legs. You're an inspirational leader.
Yeah, and Wolverine and Magneto meet up on the train, and Magneto's like, "Oh wow, your whole body's metal, huh? That's unfortunate."
Yeah, it sucks to be you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, he captures Rogue with a dart.
Yep.
And yeah, all the cops are rushing in. I do like this. He, like, Magneto takes all the cops' guns and, like, points them at each other.
Yeah, and then he, like, has some of their cop cars. He, like, chucks them on top of each other. Really. This also is a good little scene because it shows, like, I like everything about this because also, as Magneto takes over all of the guns and is about to, like, shoot all the cops, Professor X takes over Sabretooth's mind and Toad's mind. And,
no, Jean takes over Toad. Like,
oh, okay. But they take over their fucking minds, and then Professor X through Sabretooth is talking to Magneto.
Yeah. Well, what they should have done, though, with Magneto, and I've seen this work before, is use a wooden gun.
Ah, yeah.
Have you seen that clip?
No.
It's from the 60s Fantastic Four cartoon.
Yeah.
And Reed's whole plan to take down Magneto is like, I have a wooden gun. And he's like, a wooden gun? I surrender.
That's why Reed Richards is a genius. Smartest man on the planet.
Smarter than anybody else. Nobody else would have thought of this.
Well, no. Who would think of a wooden gun? Nobody.
But yeah, I do like the whole standoff, though, and the talk, and then Magneto's like, you won't sacrifice anything. And he like shoots one of the bullets, and it's like right up against one of those cops' heads.
Yeah. And it seems like it's slowly like working its way through his head.
Yeah. And it's like, you won't sacrifice anything, which is why I'm going to get away on this helicopter. And he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets away with a kidnapping.
And, Wolverine's, like, ready to go. He's going to track her down with this intense smelling.
Yeah, he sniffs a lot. That gasoline hasn't ruined his sniffer.
Yeah, it is interesting they never actually, like, I know that he has intense sniffing powers, but we don't actually, like, they don't ever spell it out for
you. Well, they
you.
Don't bring it up until it becomes necessary, which is funny.
Yeah. And I'm like, you can join the X-Men, though. We'll let you in as an honorary member.
Mm-hmm.
And then Senator Kelly's at the door.
And they're like, we'll make him an honorary member, too. Fuck it. Everybody can join.
Come on, Blob Boy.
Blob Boy. We'll throw you at things and see what happens.
Fastball special.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, the senator, he's melting.
Mm-hmm.
He's melt man with the incredible power
to melt.
Yeah, and they find out that the plan is that Magneto is going to mutate everybody in New York City.
Yep.
And
that's no good, because that mutate, as we previously mentioned, people will turn into blobby boys and disintegrate.
Yeah, their cells just can't handle it.
Yeah, and people in New York City just aren't about that life.
Yeah, but his plan is to, because it weakens the fuck out of him, and he's just a bit of a bitch, Magneto's going to transfer his power to Rogue, so Rogue can die.
Mm-hmm. She will sacrifice herself so that many more may live.
Yeah, so, because he could do it, but it took a lot out of him. So, they Professor X is like, well, I'll see if I can find him, and then the green goo gets you every time.
Yeah, the green goo, like, poisons his brain. It's like, oh, damn. Not green stuff. It does something to him. It takes him out of the, final act, essentially.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, gives him a wicked headache, knocks him out for the whole movie, for the rest of the movie, basically. So Jean has to fix it and use it, and then they figure out where it is. They figure out Solus Island.
Yeah, and Senator Kelly disintegrates, and nobody really cares.
Well, yeah, Storm goes out and sees. It's like, I don't want to die alone. And then he's like, and he just squirts all over everything. Because he turns into water. It just melts.
Yeah.
It's a wet-ass senator. And she gets her own funeral bucket. You know, that's where we're going to store his remains.
Yeah. Get the ceremonial mop. And...
Oh, God, get the funeral mop.
Where are we at now? Fuck.
Well, now it's time to suit up.
Oh, yeah.
And I still hate these suits.
Yeah, they suck. They suck hard. They don't get any better for a long time.
No. Yeah, it because they'd also make a joke. And they're like, oh, who would you prefer, yellow spandex? And like...
Yeah.
What's interesting is, like, with the Deadpool 3 stuff, you see, like... Oh, yeah,
but,
actually.
Yeah, everybody prefers... Well, that's also the kind of the neat thing of where we are now, where we've kind of moved to the point where we can embrace a lot of the people, movie-going audiences are more willing to be acceptive and receptive towards that more comic booky stuff. And they probably would have been, because I think it's all about how you tell it. You know, they probably would have been back in 2000 if they had been able to find a way to, I don't want to say sell it, but they'll sell it on film, I guess. Bryan Singer, I feel like, was like, nope, we're not going to do that.
Get him a leather onesie.
Yep. And I don't want him to be able to fucking step over. Because there was a whole clip of the actors. They couldn't even step over, like, a not very tall, like, stone barrier. Like, they couldn't lift their legs up. You know what I mean? And James Marsden said, like, you couldn't feel less like a superhero. Because you're like, how could you fight crime in these?
Yeah. Well, the X-Men don't fight crime.
Yeah, you see what they're saying, though.
Yes, I do. But yeah, no, it's wild. It's just as impractical, which is the problem, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's what also kind of makes the fights when they're in the suits kind of less than great.
Well, they're just sort of bleh.
Well, yeah, nobody can really do anything. So everything everybody does is just kind of kind of horizontal. It's not as dynamic as we've gotten used to.
Yeah. Except for, like, Toad. I do like...
Toad brings a little bit of that. But he's about it, and maybe when Halle Berry hovers around.
Yeah. Because... Yeah, so they fly out, because they got the X-Jet. It used to be a jet, now it's something else. And, Wolverine sets off the metal detector. That was fun.
Yep, that was good. Also liked how he flipped Cyclops off with his metal claw. That was good too.
But Mystique pretends to be Wolverine, and they has fight. But yeah, it's a very confusing fight. Like, I understand, like, this is kind of Mystique's whole thing, is that she turns into other people, but it's...
Here's another question that I have, and maybe you can answer this. So at one point when Mystique and Wolverine are fighting, right, she's doing the whole claw thing. He uses his real claws to, like, claw her claws off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a part of her body?
Yes.
what was she, what's she missing then that he got? Because what was weird to me was, like, she replicated the claws, but it seemed like she could replicate some of the stuff that those claws did.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't seem my like understanding, a thing she could do.
Mystique is, like, far more powerful, like, because, like, you know, she gets stabbed in the stomach, but, like, you think about it, she's a shapeshifter, so she can move her fucking organs to be anywhere that she wants.
Sure.
As long, you know. And she can also change her relative size, too, so I imagine it cut something off, but since she's a shapeshifter, it's not anything important.
Yeah, but how's she able to, like, use those claws as, like, effective weapons if they're just made of fleshy bits?
That's a great question.
Okay, well, I think that we can probably leave that there.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder why you would do that, but I think it's more to, like, sell the effect. Maybe it's, like, maybe she put some bones up in there.
Hmm.
Because she can, you know, has to be able to change. If she can change that, she'd probably change, like, bone stuff.
She's just missing, like,
a femur.
Yeah. It's, like, whole parts just, I gotta sell these bone claws. Damn it.
Well, because, like, yeah, it's not like she could. We don't really see any sort of limitations to her shapeshifting, so.
No.
I would imagine they're bone claws, maybe?
We're just gonna have to let that be a riddle for the ages.
I mean, she can also change, like, clothes, and it looks like the clothes are realistic.
Yeah.
They don't look like she's always wearing, like, a skin-tight bodysuit.
Well, also, her shape-shifting power I always found to be weird. I get why they did the effect, but I've never been... I don't know. Mystique is, like... She's fine. I just never was, like... I guess I just never got the character all that much. She was never that appealing or interesting to me.
I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wolverine eventually, though, kind of sniffs out, because she's trying to be Storm, or Mystique's trying to be Storm, to split up, and because of his sense of smell, he, like, stabs her.
Yeah.
And then Toad fights Storm, and also spits some of his goo onto Jean Grey.
Yeah, nearly suffocates her.
Yeah, and then that's okay, because Storm just fucking murders Toad.
Yeah, she, like, goes full-on raided on him and, like, electrocutes him and sends him fucking flying into New York Harbor.
Yeah, and since I don't see him in any of the other movies, he's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he never shows up again, which is kind of crazy, because even Sabretooth, not played by Tyler Mane again, but Sabretooth does show up again.
Yeah. Looks nothing like Liev Schreiber.
No.
But yeah, what happens to a toad that gets struck by lightning? Same thing that happens to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's rock type.
Supposedly, if I remember correctly, that Joss Whedon did a couple of rewrites for this movie. And as I understand it, that is the only line of his left in any of the drafts that came after.
Huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, the machine or whatever is in the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
So we got to get up to the torch.
Mm-hmm.
But they all get trapped in, like, the head part.
I think it's the head part. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Magneto uses his mastery of magnetism to stop all of them in their tracks and, like, pin them all to the walls.
And what I don't understand, because then he flies up, which I do like that Wolverine calls him out on his bullshit. Like, yeah. You're full of shit. If you really believed it, you'd be up there on that machine.
Mm-hmm.
To which Magneto is like, yeah, well, whatever, nerd.
Yeah, I don't care. That's one of my favorite things. I think Ian McKellen's probably my favorite performance in this, because he, like, there are times when Magneto will, like, monologue at people, and he, like, he's perfect at it. Like, he does it so well. He sells it, like, so very... It's exemplary how well, because you're like, fuck yeah, Magneto, I get where you're, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's great, great. That's another thing I think we should take a moment to just appreciate, is, like, the casting for everybody in this, I think, is really spot on.
They do a very great job casting this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, some other people. Thank Jensen. I can't pronounce
Famke
your name.
Jensen.
Yeah, thank you. Xenia on the top herself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Really good, Jean Grey. Considering I don't have any real thoughts about Jean Grey Every time I read in the comics, she's just dead.
Well, yeah, she's perpetually dead.
She spends a long time dead, and then she gets brought back to life, and then she's dead again. Mm-hmm. Halle Berry is Storm, great.
Yeah, she's okay. She's the one I feel like. Yeah, she's the one that feels like she's the most on like the outskirts of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I get that there's also like 4-on-4, like it's a 4v4 fight between Brotherhood and all that, which you got to set all these people up and all that. So
yeah,
she just gets lost in the shuffle.
Well, I just meant throughout like the whole like even before this bit where just throughout the movie, she just kind of feels like she's a bit more. Everybody else has a bit more material than she does.
Yeah. So to get it. Oh, they also take Cyclops' visor.
Yeah.
And he has to shut his eyes, and they lock him so that he would just, I guess, completely kill Jean Grey if he opened his eyes.
Eventually, open his eyes and just like look around to witness the beauty of New York City.
Start spreading the news. Yeah, Wolverine has to stab himself to get out. And I don't understand how that works.
I don't either. I think that's just a trick that they used in order to get the plot moving because they wrote themselves into a corner.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, is it that he's supposed to go limp? Because why can't you just go limp?
Play dead. <Deadpool. laughs> Give you Sabretooth like he's a bear.
How does this work? How did stabbing yourself get you out of this situation?
I don't know.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me.
I think that they just did the effect because people go like, oh, that's cool because he can heal. That's right. Show like, oh, when he stabbed himself, it hit a bolt or something and he fell down and we can accept that. It's a
yeah.
Trickery, I think that they did.
And so he fights Sabretooth. He gets his dog tags back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool has fight.
A, yeah, has a fight on top of the statue, later Lady Liberty's head. There's also one shot that's almost completely CG that I remember watching on the DVD of this movie years and years ago. They were talking about this shot, and it's an intensive, really intensive shot. It's the shot where Wolverine's like thrown. And then he like uses his claws to like claw on the head crown.
Yeah.
Like the crown piece of the thing and yeah. And they're like, oh man, this is gonna take so much work to do, but it's gonna be really great when it comes out. And you look at it now and it's like, yeah. I'm glad you guys did all that work, man.
I mean, I do think it's a cool idea. And I
No,
think
it's a totally cool idea, and I'm not trying to be shitty towards the because of course, you know, graphics are gonna get way better, especially, you know, in light of 24 years since this movie came out. It's just I remembered that when I watched this again, where I was remembering those guys talking about how intensive that was and like how far we've come, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And he almost he falls off the head and has to like use the claws to climb back up and almost stab Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay because he gets the visor back too, and they use the telekinesis to go like open his eyes and go through the visor. I don't really know how that.
I don't know this either. I think this is supposed to be like their team working moment.
But it's like, couldn't you have just
looked
man.
That way?
Couldn't you have already just moved his eye beams?
You see, Scott's so in love with Jean that he can never take his eyes off her.
There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it hits Sabretooth and he falls to his doom.
Presumably.
And then they're like, oh, how do we get up there? Well, Storm, can you lift Wolverine?
First Cyclops is like, can you push me up there? And she's like, no, you'll overshoot that by a mile. And Logan's like, well, how about you do it to me? And then Jean's like, I can steady you. And I was like, why couldn't you do that with Cyclops?
My thought was like, why couldn't you? He's not that fucking heavy, Jean. You can lift him up with your mind power, right? Like, we don't have like a limit to her telekinesis.
Well, I think that they say, limited telepathy, that's what they say.
Yeah, limited telepathy, but like your
telekinesis is like your main thing. That should be something you're on the team for.
I mean, He's not. He has to be. I would imagine the Wolverine is really heavy, but he's probably not
fat.
That
fuck.
Bones are metal. That's what. But like, oh no, I'll steady him. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, the final act here, things really start to fall apart. But yes, they fucking Storm flings Wolverine up there, and then he's like, "All right, I'm gonna stop this thing," and he's gonna use his claws to, because it's like a bit, the machine has like big whirly bits. Okay.
Yeah. Somehow Magneto made it so that this thing would just work off of his own magnetism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of them devices, and. Yeah, so Wolverine's plan is like, I'm gonna use my claws and I'm gonna get it. I'm just gonna
whack the crap out of it.
I'm gonna whack it. I'm gonna be like a cat getting a thing. Yeah. And just as he's about to go, yeah, fucking Magneto stops him with his powers of magnetism, causes his claws to warp.
Master of magnet.
And
Cyclops is like, oh, I'm gonna shoot it.
He's like, no, Scott, you'll kill them all. And he's like, all right, I got a shot. I'm going to take the shot. And he hits Magneto in the back. And then Wolverine is able to stop the machine. And while this is all going on, Rogue gets her iconic white hair. Like the
yep.
Bit of hair.
The hair streak. Yeah. And yeah. And it looks like she's about to die. But there's like a death fake out. It's like Wolverine's all bawling his eyes out about this girl that he's known for all of 3 days.
Yeah. However long we've been following everybody.
And it seems very like small, but it's okay. Cause she absorbs the power and Professor X wakes up and everybody's really happy.
Yeah.
Senator Kelly has changed his mind. He's reformed out of water.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it turns out, of course, Mystique is taking his identity and changed his whole stance on the whole mutant thing.
Which, you know, I'm just going to say it.
Why not do that before?
What? Yeah, why wouldn't you just open with that? That would have been my move.
Fucking you killed his aide. Kill him. And maybe it's because they want fucking Mystique's busy. She doesn't want to be Senator Kelly 24/7.
Well, what's going to happen if Senator Kelly's going to... She has to continue to be Senator Kelly to keep it up.
Yeah,
she's going to have to go campaigning.
She's going to have to go to congressional meetings. She's going to have to call people for donations. That's
like
the shit she doesn't want to be.
X-Men.
She doesn't want to do. Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah.
And Logan gets his lead of the facility and is going to head out. But he'll be back because he gave the dog tags to Rogue.
Yeah.
And Magneto's in prison playing chess with Professor X. And like, war is coming.
You fucking mark my words. That war is coming one of these days.
I had a question.
Yeah.
Was that prison cell already built? Then or
who knows, we could maybe presume that it was, or they were able to find a way to just keep fucking Magneto stoned and in a coma long enough for them to get it built.
Yeah,
because presumably some time has passed in between the ending and the not epilogue but the where are they now section, I guess you'd call it.
The where it's just like the post-graduation where like Iceman became a senator.
Yeah. Like 4 years after the Battle of the Statue of Liberty, Logan.
Don't
fucking,
you
forget about me? That'd be great.
Yeah, Jubilee became a fashion designer in New York City.
Yeah,
yeah, that stuff. And yeah, the Magneto is in prison. Thus, the day is saved.
Mm-hmm.
I like this movie.
Yeah, it's okay. My final note is, this is okay, very of its time. It's more of a sci-fi movie with some superhero aspects, and it feels very light.
Yeah. I mean, it's breezy, but, like, it's certainly solid. I can see why it would be popular, like, wildly popular.
Yeah, I totally get why it was popular and why it sparked everything off, but I also get, like, I could totally understand why I don't have very many memories of this movie, because it, like, you know, so many things have come after it that have like taken, well, especially in the X-Men sense, have taken a lot of the things laid down here, picked them up and just refined them or found new ways to pull off certain things from the comics and from the various aspects of it. So this one's like very primordial, I'll call it.
Well, and I honestly, that's kind of the mark of a good series is when the first one isn't necessarily the best. Like, it's kind of sad if you're like the first movie or the first season is the best one, you know, of a long one. So yeah, I do think it will get better.
Yeah.
I remember liking X2 a little bit more, but it's been a long time since I've seen X2.
Well, yeah, the thing with this one is, like, it's literally been, I know for a fact, it's literally been decades since I last saw this movie.
Yeah, I remember really liking it, though, as a kid, because, like...
Well,
because
it's, like, it's the X-Men, that's the thing, is, like, it's, they're bringing life to the X-Men, like, how could you not? Well,
it's the X-Men for one, but the other was, like, in the year 2000, there wasn't that many superhero movies that were even close to this quality. Like, now, in the benefit of hindsight, it's ho-hum. But in 2000, like...
Yeah. This,
it was a bigger... You know what I mean?
No, I get that. I also, yeah, it was that. And then also, like, they marketed this movie totally correctly. Got, yeah, they built a hype train, and it succeeded, you know? So...
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's fine. If you are a completionist, I say, yeah, take the time to check it out. But, you know.
I would say it's not a bad you. Oh, and also, it's an hour 40. And in terms of, like, things you can do for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, but, like, it's an hour and 40 that, like.
It flies by. I think it's breezy and a fun enough watch. I'm not going to say that it's, like, the best superhero movie.
No. No, I mean, it's, like, yeah. It's definitely, it's an hour 44. I mean, sometimes it does have, like, a drag to it, and some of the fight scenes are kind of, you know, they happen. Yeah, yeah. So it's okay. It is a solid, like, it's a B+.
Yeah. And, but next time, we, I don't, what a X2. X2 is basically what
so where
God
William,
loves band kills.
Yeah, William Stryker's gonna fucking invade the school and have that badass opening with Nightcrawler at the White House.
That Nightcrawler is pretty dope.
Yeah, he's great in that movie. Love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then next time we'll go to X3, and we'll see where we go after that. We guarantee you 3 X-Men movies.
Yeah, at least a trilogy.
All right, but until then, I'm Devin.
I'm Dayton.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See ya.
Peace.